This is being described as the first serious look at the state of the nation's financial system since 1997. There are 44 recommendations. It's called the Murray Review, and it suggests a range of things, including that banks should hold more capital, superannuation funds should be encouraging more people to take their super in the form of a pension rather than as a lump sum, credit card interchange fees should be cut. Seems like fairly serious stuff. I wonder how the government will respond. Maybe Stephen Chiobo knows. He's the Parliamentary Secretary to the Treasurer, and he joins us now. Stephen, it seems to me this is landing something in your lap that seems to pull in the exact opposite direction philosophically to what the government has been pulling so far.
No, not at all. This is a report to the government, and it's a report that's been undertaken by, obviously, David Murray, a man with immense experience in knowledge of the financial services sector. I mean, this is a report that the government commissioned because it's been some time since the Wallace Inquiry. We thought it was time to take stock of the financial services sector now in Australia. That's exactly what we've done. We want to make sure that Australia continues to have a very robust and strong financial services sector. We want to make sure that we've got the continuation of what is already a fantastic superannuation system. We want that to continue in the future as well, Wally.
Sure, but this is really an argument. So the big headlines here are about more regulation, effectively. This is not a government that's been fond of that.
Well, we're not necessarily opposed to more regulation, but we are a government that's committed to deregulation where it's appropriate to do so. I mean, obviously, there are occasions where regulation for the sake of regulation isn't a step in the right direction, and there are other occasions where you have the opportunity to reduce the amount of regulation and to do so in a way that doesn't have a detrimental impact on the market or on consumers. Now, the recommendations that have been put forward are comprehensive, but I'd stress that this is a report to the government, not a report of the government. What we intend to do now is take some time to consider the recommendations, to talk to stakeholders, talk to consumer groups, and then in due course, of course, we'll respond in full the recommendations that have been put forward.
I understand it's not a report of the government. Indeed, that's the basis of me noting that it seems to be philosophically in a different direction. Some of the stakeholders have already started speaking. The big banks have started complaining that the idea of them making them hold extra capital will be damaging. It'll result in higher interest rates for consumers. Is there any validity to that argument?
Well, I think the modelling that was done by the inquiry themselves found that there would be a small on cost as a result of banks being required to hold more capital. And the trade-off always with these things is, of course, the need for financial stability weighed against the need for more competition. I mean, ultimately, you want a strong, solid, stable financial system. You don't want one that is completely free of competition either. It's always with these things a balancing act. We've seen that Australia, during the GFC, had a very strong banking system. We saw our housing market, although there were price corrections across basically all markets and in some very significant price corrections, but that notwithstanding, you saw the housing sector hold up relatively very well compared to other places around the world. So as a nation, there's always a trade-off between competition and stability, and that's why we asked David Murray to undertake this inquiry, so he could take stock of our financial sector.
Do you have the political capital to push this through, particularly given that the banks seem to have been lobbying pretty hard against the opposition and towards you on issues like financial advice after there were some big scandals effectively unearthed about the way that financial advice was ripping customers off and the Commonwealth Bank were at the part of that? They clearly have managed to get in your ear about that. You don't seem terribly desirous to upset them on certain issues. Are you prepared to take them on something like this?
Well, I mean, you're presupposing the outcome that the government might choose to take. I mean, the point I was stressing to you is that we're going to consider these recommendations in the full light of day, and we're going to do so in consultation with various stakeholders groups. Now, that's consumers, that's bankers, that's financial planners, that's superannuants, retirees, a whole range of people. Part of the role of government is, of course, to consult on the recommendations, and that's exactly the next step in the process. Now, what ultimately feeds out at the end of that consultation process that, as a government, will undertake will help to determine the path that we choose to walk down in terms of which recommendations we adopt, which ones we reject, and which ones we might seek to modify.
But the review makes certain statements of fact, effectively, or what purport to be statements of fact. That, for example, we do not have a financial system that is ready for a serious financial shock. That to go through something like the GFC again would be problematic. We're not in the best shape we could possibly be in here, and that there must be reform. Do you at the very least accept that?
Well, of course we accept that there is an important role for reform. I mean, rather than reform, I think reform is part of evolution when it comes to our financial services sector. I mean,
but are our current arrangements inadequate? Because that seems to be what the report is suggesting.
Sorry, I missed that. Is what inadequate?
Are our current arrangements concerning our banking and financial sector inadequate? Because that's the assumption, really, or the statement. This is what it's predicated on, this review, effectively.
I'm not sure that's a fair reading of the report. I mean, let's be honest. We've just weathered a pretty intense test of our financial services sector in terms of the GFC. You know, Australia weathered that in relative terms quite well. The financial services sector has continued to evolve. There is, of course, need to see a continuation of that evolution, a better alignment between policy objectives and the sector itself. So, you know, look, these are things that aren't really political in the sense of Liberal versus Labor or anything like that. What we've had is a stock take of the financial services sector by David Murray and his committee, and they're, you know, people that understand the sector very well. And I think that, you know, we take on board their assessment. We, as I said, bounce that off stakeholders, and ultimately, in due course, we'll make a determination about what we think is the best way forward based on what we believe to be in the national interest.
Do you have any intention of considering getting rid of the tax breaks around negative gearing at the moment, which is something that David Murray seemed to have firmly in his sights with some aspects of his review?
Look, I noted that observation from David Murray, and ultimately this will feed into the tax white paper. We have indicated all along that we want next year to be a comprehensive review of Australia's tax system. You know, whether you're a Liberal supporter, a Labor supporter, a National or an Independent, whatever, everyone's got an opinion on what they believe the tax system should be like and whether or not we're collecting too much or not enough tax. That really is what's guiding our desire to have a comprehensive stock take of Australia's tax system. I mean,
So does that mean negative gearing is on the table? That you're actually, this is something you will actually consider?
Well, it's something that will no doubt be canvassed in the tax white paper. That is something that the tax white paper is going to look at in terms of the review of Australia's taxation system.
So you have an open mind on getting rid of negative gearing?
Well, as a government, we haven't ruled anything in or out when it comes to Australia's tax system. We want there to be a national discussion on what tax system is going to best suit our nation going forward. And then on the back of that tax white paper, there will be a position adopted by government. You know, I think it's a great thing that as a country, we're in a position where we can have a full and frank discussion about our tax mix and our tax policy on an ongoing basis. We want Australia to be strong. We want Australia to be stable. And I think looking at that tax mix is the appropriate thing to do.
Just on the political front, you no doubt would have seen and no doubt had many heated, impassioned discussions with your colleagues about a poll that's come out today and has been widely reported as disastrous, particularly as far as Tony Abbott himself is concerned and levels of trust about him. He's now behind Bill Shorten as preferred Prime Minister. Bill Shorten's regarded as more trustworthy and more competent, which is fairly extraordinary for an opposition leader early in his term to be in that sort of position. Why is it that Tony Abbott's not trusted?
Well, look, I'm not in a position where I can make an assessment about being a political commentator on, you know, why one thing or why another. What I would say is this, Waleed. As a government, we're elected to restore the nation's finances. I've said before, and I'll reiterate, we're borrowing currently $1 billion a month just to pay the interest on the debt that Labor left behind. Now, as part of our effort to improve the nation's finances, we've had to make a number of decisions which we know and I understand are unpopular. We know that there are elements of Australia who do not like hearing the message that we cannot continue to spend the way that we have been and that we need to make reforms in a range of areas to get our nation's finances back under control.
But it's not about them not liking the message, it's about them saying they don't trust the message, that there have been too many broken promises and they don't trust the leadership. Do you acknowledge that the electorate has a point?
Well, what I acknowledge is that we have serious financial challenges that we've got to overcome. I mean, what I acknowledge is that we came into government being told by the Labor Party that the deficit would be $18 billion, and the deficit ended up being $48 billion, which represents in 1 year alone a $30 billion black hole.
So a raft of promises simply has to be broken then?
Well, what it means, and the Prime Minister's made this point, I mean, take for example ABC and SBS funding. The Prime Minister's acknowledged there's been a reduction from $5.5 billion down to $5.2 billion. Now, as a government, we say to Australians that we think that that reduction from $5.5 billion to $5.2 billion in the current context of a $48 billion deficit after literally hundreds of billions of dollars worth of deficit, and in the context of there being deficits going forward as well, we believe is an appropriate thing to do. Now, some people don't like the fact that we've done that. I acknowledge that, I hear what they're saying, and I accept that they're upset with us for doing that. But ultimately, I am determined, as indeed I believe every member of the Abbott Coalition government is, to make decisions we believe in the national interest, because we simply cannot continue to mortgage our children's future to pay for today's spending.
All right. It's a slightly separate argument to the trust issue, but I suppose if in your mind they're related, we'll see what the electorate ultimately does when they meet the full force of your argument in the new year. Steve Chiobo, thank you very much for joining us.
That's a pleasure. Thank
Parliamentary you. Secretary to the Treasurer, Steve Chiobo. It's 22 minutes past six.